that you'll be in charge of picking up, Alberich said. Right, Tiny said, his teeth gleaming as he smiled.
That's going to be about the best you can expect from him,
Bob said, shaking his head.
Do we want to grab one more first?
Fluff asked. Sure, we can grab the two between us and the portal, Albert said with a laugh. Tiny, grab the two between us and the fort's main doors. We'll be killing them just to the left of the portal. He slapped Buffs onto Tiny as Tiny ran forward, yelling.
He really does love to yell,
Fluff laughed as she followed after Tiny, trailed by Bob and Albert. The battle was longer than the others, and Tiny took a bad beating, but was still alive when both mobs died. As Tiny regained his health after combat, Albert saw Gerald and Mary Sue coming through the main gates, so he disbanded the group, waving to them. Gerald, Mary Sue, and the other DPS ran over to them, as Gerald sent them invites to the group.
Everyone inside, Gerald said once Fluff and Albert accepted the invites.
Stepping through the portal, Gerald turned to Albert.
Get rid of the destroyer, please. He'll taunt the mobs off me.
No, he won't. He has been told not to, Albert said evenly. He will add to how fast we can kill things, unless the other DPS is a melee type.
Call me Franz, the unknown DPS said. I'm an elementalist, so I won't be in the thick of the fight.
So Tiny can get around the ones you have aggroed and help add in more damage. Besides, in the two boss fights, we'll want him to help with the ants, Albert said.
If he taunts once outside of the boss ads, then he is out,
Gerald said firmly. Albert felt his anger start to rise and did his best to stomp it out.
Sure.
We only ran one more time after the first run,
Mary Sue said as they advanced to the first corner.
When the shield bearers have their shields up, they take a lot less damage. They made each fight take longer. We even wiped on the two bosses that summon ads.
Albert, you're up, Gerald said, his voice strained as if he wished Mary hadn't said what she had. Smiling broadly, Albert nodded before turning to Tiny. Tiny, attack the mob Gerald is attacking after he has hit it twice. Switch targets when he does as well. No taunting unless I tell you to. Got it?
As the master says,
Tiny rumbled, gripping his axe tighter. As Albert looked around the corner, he caught a whisper from Mary Sue.
My goodness, that voice is frightening. He's just a lovable attack demon,
Fluffball replied softly with a giggle. He didn't let me take a single point of damage while we were farming. Albert ignored the rest and pulled the first group by putting sap strength on the shield bearer.
Here they come, he said, as he ducked back well behind Gerald.
With the first group, Albert leveled to 10 to the congratulations of the others. As he distributed his stat points, Gerald asked,
You don't mind waiting on your ability until after the run, right?
Albert chuckled. Not in the least, actually. I doubt it would make a huge difference, and it would take a while to make the trip, so I'll wait. Shall we continue on? They cleared the floor of ads quickly. The mobs were dropping even faster than the previous day. They staged up next to the first boss, as Gerald went through his description of the boss for Franz.
When the ads come in, Tiny will be picking them up. All DPS switches to them and kills them first. He goes berserk at 10% life, at which point, Albert, if you could, get Tiny to taunt off me at some point so I don't die.
Hear that, Tiny? You get to save Gerald at the end, Albert said.
I will save Squishy Human,
Tiny replied. Anyway, are there any questions? Gerald asked, a little peeved at being called squishy. When no one replied, he turned to Albert. I'll go once you get the buffs up. Albert buffed Gerald, who rushed in, followed by the others. The fight didn't take long, and Tiny did his job perfectly, collecting each set of ads as they appeared. They did find out why Bob had told Mary Sue to not heal him the day before, though. When the first set of ads died, Mary Sue had tossed a healing spell to Tiny, damaging him even more and causing him to roar in pain and spin around to find the one who had hurt him. Albert got Tiny to attack the boss and shook his head at Mary Sue, who looked shocked but nodded in understanding. Tiny had just a sliver of health when the boss enraged,
but Gerald was at full life since he hadn't been getting pummeled by ads during the fight. Albert called Tiny to him and away from the boss, not wanting the minion to get killed. The boss died shortly afterwards under the barrage of damage from the party.
"I'm sorry about that. I didn't know it would hurt him,"
Mary Sue said as she came over.
"I forgot all about Bob telling you not to heal him yesterday. So it's partially my fault as well," Albert said.
Bob snickered.
"It's not like it did any real harm to him."
Albert shook his head.
"What if we had forgotten about not healing you?"
Bob looked away without answering, which prompted a chuckle from Albert.
"So healing spells don't work for my minions, obviously. Makes me hope I get a way to heal them soon."
"Hey, the loot is a leather helm, plus 2 constitution," Gerald said, to get Albert and Mary Sue's attention.
"I got a good enough helm from yesterday, so who wants to greed the item?"
All 4 of the others opted to roll for it, using the pop-up to do so. Albert found a set of 10-sided dice in his hand, making him smile as he knelt down and rolled them, as the others had already done. He laughed when his came up as a 1. The others laughed as well. Franz took the helm, his 87 the high roll.
"Wow, talk about rolling low," Albert joked.
"Says the guy who got a unique set of gloves yesterday," Gerald said, shaking his head.
"I would think that would be good enough luck for the first 50 levels. Meh, I took a gamble and it paid off.
We doing the jailer next?" Albert asked as they left the room.
"That is the plan. If your imp can free the 1 prisoner again, we should be golden," Gerald replied.
"Luckily, we had a trapsmith with us on our 2nd run, and he was able to free the 1 slave.
We didn't get any extra rewards that time, but the DPS with us did. And it does make the fight easier."
The group decimated the next few packs of trash in short order, pausing outside of the boss area for Gerald to explain the fight to Franz.
"Okay. Albert, buff me, and in we go.
Bob, free the 1 prisoner at the start. Tiny, no taunts on this fight," Albert said before buffing Gerald to kick the fight off.
The jailer went down just as easily as before, but Tiny taunted the boss at 5% life, giving Gerald the chance to get some life back. Gerald pursed his lips, looking from Albert to Tiny, but not saying anything as he looted the boss.
"Tiny, why did you taunt?" Albert asked.
"Squishy human Gerald was close to not having enough life to survive, so I saved him. I am ready for your retribution for disobeying you,"
Tiny said with stoic calm in the longest speech he'd ever made. Albert looked to Gerald.
"Any issue with him taunting there?"
Gerald shook his head.
"Not about helping make sure I survive, no.
I thought they were supposed to obey you, though."
"I have noticed that as long as they are content on the happiness scale, they do a little more to help out,"
Albert replied with a shrug before turning to Tiny.
"As you saved Gerald, I will not be punishing you. You did the right thing, even though it did go against my order."
Tiny bowed his head.
"Thank you, master."
Fluffball giggled but shook her head when Albert raised a brow her way.
"It's nothing."
"The loot is a necklace with a +2 wisdom," Gerald said, holding it up.
Albert and Franz both rolled to see who would get the necklace. Franz ended up with a 10, much to his dismay, until he saw the 1 that Albert got again.
"Ha ha, dude, your dice hate you,"
Franz said, as he took the necklace and put it on.
"I wonder if anyone sells better dice,"
Albert said out loud, half jokingly.
"Ha, yeah, dice with a +10 modifier," Franz said. "We could call them crooked dice."
That got a chuckle out of the group as they considered the idea.
"No, 'cause then the rogue-type classes would have abilities like, once a day win any roll with a 100, called loaded dice," Albert said, prompting more laughter.
"Guess you should have been a rogue then," Franz said. "Maybe then you could roll above a 1.
With that as the last word, the group went upstairs to the 2nd floor. Albert looked at the 2 bodyguard mobs and pursed his lips before smiling.
"Hey, Gerald, why don't we split the group here? Tiny, Bob, and Fluff on the 1 to the right. You, Franz, and me on the 1 to the left. Since they have a linked enraged when 1 dies,
We might be able to whittle them down enough in tandem to defeat that mechanic.
Gerald considered it and nodded.
Good idea. We'll do it that way. You sure Tiny can hold up for the entire fight?
If it looks like he isn't dropping first, I'll chip in on it. As long as his dies first, it should be fine.
Once everyone was ready, Alberet put demonic retribution on Tiny and Gerald. He could only give one of them demonic haze, so he gave it to Gerald. Once the buffs were out, Gerald and Tiny rushed up the last few stairs to the two mobs. Fluffball and Bob killed the mob on Tiny about 20 seconds before the one on Gerald died.
Well done, Gerald said as they regained their health and mana. Just the boss left.
He told Franz the mechanics before turning to Alberet. This one was a bitch with the four casters at the end. We died twice on this boss on our second run. Do you think Tiny can hold up?
Alberet nodded as his mind worked on the boss fight.
I'm sure he will be fine if we all focus kill the casters in order. If not, me and Fluff can tank a single one each like we did last time.
Fluffball winced. I was just getting used to not being pummeled too.
I will not let them harm you,
Tiny told her in a gravelly voice. Fluffball grinned up at the destroyer.
Ah, thanks, big guy.
The master likes you, so...
Tiny began, and Bob began to laugh.
Enough, Alberet said quickly. Let's get buffed up.
Fluffball was a little pink, but smiled a little, noting Alberet's own blush. Alberet didn't look over at her, though, and missed the smile as he tagged Gerald with his two short-term buffs.
Okay, we're ready, Alberet said.
Gerald led them into the room as he rushed at the goblin. Alberet called out a warning as each poison vial was about to be tossed, which helped Franz and Mary Sue avoid the ones aimed at them. Tiny stood next to the door waiting to pick up the adds when they spawned. The first set Tiny picked up and held without issue. Alberet was able to renew demonic retribution on Tiny during that first phase. The first set of adds died quickly, allowing the DPS to go back to the boss as Tiny stood beside the door waiting for more adds. Alberet continued to call out poison vials, which let Gerald already be in motion when the boss tried to smash one behind Gerald. Gerald called out his thanks as he moved to tank the boss at a new angle. The tricky transition came up at 50%, with adds coming in and the boss tossing a poison vial at the same time. It was here that the party learned the easy way of dealing with the adds. Alberet had shifted closer to the door as he was buffing Tiny again, when the boss hit the 50% mark. Alberet dove out of the way as the vial broke right where he had been standing next to the door. Tiny stepped out of the way as well and was turning to pick up the adds. As the adds rushed into the room, they stepped into the poison cloud and began to cough and choke, their life dropping by the second. Tiny smashed one with his shield and slashed another with his axe, keeping them from moving through for another couple of seconds before he turned to the third ad. By the time the two Tiny had hit left the poison cloud, they were at 50% of their life. The DPS piled in quickly and killed them in short order as Alberet grinned like a madman.
At 30%, all DPS to the door. Mary Sue, you as well. We want that poison cloud there for the last set of adds. It fucked them up bad. Order of killing the four casters are the one on the far side from me, then closest to me. Then the two who will be in the middle as they'll take another second or two to clear the poison.
Alberet called out to the others. They shifted around and were ready when the boss hit 30% and tossed his poison vial at the clump of them. All of them were able to vacate the area without taking damage, leaving the cloud directly in front of the doorway. Alberet laughed as his plan worked flawlessly, as they dispersed into the room away from the cloud. As he had predicted, the next set of adds had to step into the poison cloud and started to cough as their life drained away. Tiny did his best to keep the goblin casters in the cloud, as the DPS focused the casters down quickly. The casters each only got a spell or two off before they all died. Franz, Albert, and Bob stopped casting for a bit, to regain some mana, waiting for the last 10%. Tiny joined Fluffball in DPSing the boss down during that time, as Mary Sue dodged the 20% poison vial. At 12%, The trio of casters started back up DPSing the boss and waited to see who was going to dodge the last vial as frenzy started. Albert noted the boss turning towards him and was moving to avoid the last vial before it got to him. During the frenzy phase, Tiny taunted off Gerald at 5%, taking the brunt of the damage while Gerald got healed up some. Gerald taunted back at 2%, as Tiny was taking an absolute beating during that time. The boss died to a cheer from the group as they each checked their pop-up loot. Albert smiled at the reinforced staff he received, which gave a +2 to Constitution and did 40 damage, which was better than the 35 his current staff did. He put it away, wanting to use his old staff until it broke, before using the new one.
Good to know the poison can damage the ads, Gerald chuckled. That would have made the fight way easier yesterday.
Well, now we know, Mary Sue added. Fast thinking about the last set of ads, Albert.
Once I knew it worked, it seemed like the best idea.
Albert shrugged. I'm glad it worked. The boss could have easily tossed that vial at Gerald instead.
Gerald nodded. Yeah, but the odds were stacked by the door. I'm going to adopt that strategy, as well as keeping the idea in mind for future boss fights.
Well, we're done in here.
What are your plans, Albert?
Going to farm goblins with Fluffball, unless she runs off on me,
Albert said as they began to walk out of the dungeon. He noticed that the others all walked along with them, as if they'd forgotten to run since he was walking.
No, I'm good for a bit yet, Fluffball replied to Albert. Are you going to head off to learn your ability first?
Grimacing, Albert shook his head.
Nope. I was told by a captain in the guard to stay out of Stormguard for a couple of days. So it's going to be at least another day before I go back.
The others all looked at him weirdly. Mary Sue spoke up first.
That doesn't make any sense. Why would an NPC guard captain tell you to stay out of Stormguard?
I kind of knocked out one of his guards when I was attacked.
Did you know it's illegal for a summoner to have demons out inside the city walls? He asked the question to lead them down a false path about why he'd been attacked.
So you were attacked and then told to stay away?
Fluffball asked.
What the hell? That doesn't make any sense. What happened to the guard?
He was escorted home and told to take the day off, if I recall correctly, Albert said with a shrug as the group stepped out of the dungeon.
You seem to have the oddest stuff happen to you, Gerald said with a chuckle.
Oh well, we'll probably be shifting zones tomorrow. If you end up in the same place, maybe we can group again.
Sounds good. He waved goodbye to Franz, Mary Sue, and Gerald, who went out the fort's gate. Turning to Fluffball, he sent her an invite and they took the front left corner again.
So you're going to stay here for the rest of your time today?
Fluffball asked.
That's the plan. I can get a bed to rest in at the fort. It gave me a rested bonus for a few hours when I woke up this morning. So I'll probably do that for tonight. Tomorrow morning I'll duck into Stormguard to see my trainer, and see about visiting an armorer to see if I can get any armor better than my buff.
So you play every day then?
Right now it's the best way for me to spend my days, Albert said with a strained smile.
All right.
Fluffball said, a little embarrassed.
Sorry. I forgot about you having medical issues.
It's okay.
Albert smiled falsely, a little upset that he was lying to such a nice person.
Then again, if he told her the truth, it would probably break the NDA that he'd signed.
He probably should have asked about that. He sighed inwardly.
So let's kill us some more goblins, Albert said, as he buffed Tiny for the pull.
The next few hours were pleasant as they pulled at a steady pace, chatting about trivial matters. Each of them reached level 11 before Fluffball mentioned she should be going. They headed back to the Stormguard fort to sell off junk, some of which Albert had held onto for Fluffball, as her bag had gotten full. After a round of selling off junk to the merchant and smith, they turned in supplies and armbands for extra coin and rep as well.
Oh, nice! I just got to liked with all Stormguard factions, Fluffball said, bouncing slightly up and down.
Well done,
Alberit replied, enjoying the view, even though he was glad she hadn't over-endowed her avatar. He thought her small beak-up avatar fit the athletic, furry Lunari best.
I hope the rest of your day is pleasant, Fluff.
Fluffball groomed an ear as she glanced at him, then away, before grooming her other ear as she pulled her homestone from her bag.
Would you be interested in company in a few days when I get back to the game again?
She asked, her voice carrying the hints of nervousness. Alberit let a smile fill his face as he reached out and gently took her hand, turning the back of it up.
It would be my pleasure, Fluff. I'll try not to outpace you too badly before then.
He gently kissed the hand he was holding. Fluff's eyes were wide and her cheeks flushed as she nodded slightly. She swallowed, trying to get moisture into her suddenly dry mouth.
That sounds grand.
Her hand hovered in the air for a few seconds after Alberit released it, before she realized and let it fall to her side.
See you then,
she said before she vanished.
Oh, she likes you,
Bob smirked.
Setting up to get a piece of tail?
Alberit burst out laughing. Not really. I wouldn't turn her down, but she seems like the serious type, and I am not in a place for that. Thank you for keeping the biting comments at a minimum today, Bob. Thank you for the exemplary work tanking, Tiny. You are both free to go. Bob and Tiny vanished in puffs of smoke, leaving Alberit without companions for the first time since this morning.
If you're free in a few hours, I would be happy to spar with you,
Sergeant Jasper said from his desk.
Sounds good. I'll just go drop my stuff off in the barracks, if that's okay.
Alberit waited for the sergeant's approval before heading up to the barracks. He ate some jerky and drank some wine before heading back downstairs, as the debuffs were getting close to the danger zone again. He spent the next 4 hours sparring with the guards, before bathing and turning in for the night. As he snuggled into the cot, his mind turned to what tomorrow might bring. His dreams were focused once again on Fluff's shyness and Victoria's enigmatic smile. Alberit. Human Summoner. Level 11. Strength, 16. Agility, 16. Constitution, 25. Intelligence, 32. Wisdom, 41. Charisma, 25. Health, 800. Mana, 960. Spells. Demon Skin, rank 2. Demonic Retribution. Summon Least Imp. Fire Blast. Sap Strength. Demonic Haze. Summon Lesser Destroyer. Demonic Vitality. Abilities. Personal Spells. One ability waiting to be trained. Shopping. Alberit woke with the sun just below the horizon to find all the guards awake and getting their gear on. He put on his gloves and boots, having slept in his clothes again, glad that they never seemed to pick up blood or dirt. He returned greetings to those who hailed him as he made his way down the stairs to find Sergeant Jasper waiting for him.
"Feel like breaking your fast with us again this morn?"
Jasper asked.
"Be glad to,"
Alberit replied, following the sergeant into the dining room. After they polished off the food and were sipping the tea, Alberit advised the sergeant on his plans.
"Looks like I'll be moving on today, Sarge. Going to risk the trip into Stormguard to train and get some better equipment. Once I've gotten that all together, I'm going to find a more challenging area to test my skills.
I got a message from Captain Roberto last night. He suggests you keep your head down if you do head back. It seems the House of Gildan is rather upset with you for what you did to Private Wilbur Gildan."
"Yeah, they dislike me, it seems. I'm sure they'll forget about me in time," Alberit replied.
"I was going to ask your recommendations for where I should turn my attention for harder prey."
Alone, I would suggest continuing south from here. To the south, there are a number of orcs that have proven to be a thorn in the side of Stormguard for some time. The problem is, they are technically monsters, which means, like you two sold, they come back to life all the time. The rest of us have to hope that the gods will smile on us and let us have another chance. If you end up with the people you had with you before, then I would say east. There are a number of goblin encampments that could use a good going over, but they work as more unified teams.
Alberich pondered the sergeant's words as they both dropped off their dishes.
Sarge, does that mean that you only have a chance of coming back to life?
Correct. We don't know why the gods made the world the way it is, but we normal folk can and do die final deaths. No one has figured out how or why it happens, only that it does. Monsters like the goblins and orcs continuously come back to plague the world. Luckily, they never seem to get organized enough to mount major attacks. They only attack isolated places like farms or maybe a really small village. If that ever changes, then I would fear for the survival of those of us who aren't immortal like you.
Definitely something to think about, sir.
I want to thank you for the generosity you've showed me by letting me share space with your men. It was the least I could do, considering you saved the lives of some of the farmers and helped reduce the goblin population, even if only for a short time. Would you be willing to trade information so I can contact you if I need a reminder on any of the techniques you've shown us?
Sergeant Jasper pulled out a mind stone as he spoke. Alberich blinked, slightly stunned at the idea of the NPCs being able to use Mind Stones. He still pulled his out, touching it to the sergeant's. He accepted the pop-up asking if he wanted to add Sergeant John Jasper to his contacts.
Something else learned. Can you also use the Home Stones?
Of course. Did you think them limited only to the two-souled?
I wasn't sure,
Alberich replied. Well, I should be going. I look forward to hearing from you in the future, sir. If I'm in the area, I'll stop by and say hello.
Jasper relieved the on-duty sergeant, taking the seat at the desk.
Please do.
In the meantime, keep your head down and your nose clean.
Alberich waved goodbye and activated his homestone, which instantly teleported him to the graveyard outside the Dead Man Inn.
Nice. No bright lights or disorientation when using the homestone,
Alberich said to himself as he walked towards the inn. Inside the door, he found the same maid on duty behind the bar. He approached with a smile in place.
Morning to you. Any idea if Stuart is about?
Morning, sir. If you want to have a seat, I will let him know you're here,
she replied. She pulled out a mind stone and concentrated on it for a moment before returning it to a pocket. Alberich nodded, dropping a silver onto the bar top.
Can I get a pot of tea and two cups as well, please?
Right you are, sir.
She scooped up the coin before turning to the kitchen door and yelling his order into the room. She turned back with a handful of copper as his change.
He will be with you in a moment, sir.
Keep the change, Alberich said with a pleasant smile. I wasn't able to leave a tip I was happy with a few days ago. This gesture will make me feel better on that count.
The small smile she'd had in place since he walked in bloomed into a vibrant smile.
Much obliged, sir. Will you be staying with us this eve?
Probably, but I won't know until later,
Alberich replied, as he turned towards the hallway which Stuart was coming from. Stuart nodded to him and motioned to a table that he walked towards.
Looks like business, Alberich said, getting to his feet. Just bring the tea over when it's ready, please.
Right, sir,
she replied, her full smile still in place, as her eyes trailed after him.
Alberich took a seat across from Stuart. Morning, Stuart. How have you been?
Stuart yawned.
I've been worse. What can I do for you, Alberich?
Alberich waited to reply as the maid arrived with a steaming teapot and two cups on a tray, setting it between them on the table. As she turned to walk away, her hip gently brushed Alberich. He glanced back to watch her walk away, even as he felt his pulse quicken slightly, before shaking his head and turning back to Stuart.
Oh, yes. I wanted to see what I can learn from you now. Have some tea. I made sure there would be enough for both of us.
Stuart nodded, pouring himself a cup of tea, before Albert had served himself.
If that little interaction with Stacia was enough to cause you to lose concentration, you are going to have some issues soon. That is another matter entirely, though. Yes, I can train you in a further ability.
Stuart sipped the apple spice tea when he finished speaking. Taking a sip of his own tea, Albert decided to rise to the bait.
Why would I have troubles later? Your third minion is a succubus, Stuart replied levelly. Yeah, I kind of knew that. But why will that give me issues? They are demons of lust and mind magic. Even the most loyal of them push at their masters for attention.
Stuart said the last word with a stress to it. Albert drained the last of his first cup and poured another as he considered the implications.
So she'll try to seduce me, is what you're saying.
Stuart poured himself the last of the pot before replying.
Possibly. But most of them are much more direct than that. You will understand when you get to summon one.
Albert considered the information he was being given and shook his head. Life was going to get interesting real quick if that was the case. No reason to worry about it until later, though. Still shaking his head, he pushed the thoughts aside while sipping his tea. Once they'd finished the tea, the duo walked through the passage that led down to the training room. Stuart took his seat and nudged a book over to Albert.
You can choose the ability you passed up last time, or either of the two new ones available to you now. Just press your hand to the page you want.
Albert nodded, glancing at the options. The first was Infernal Fire, which increased fire damage by 10%. He skipped that for now to look at the two new ones. The first was Flame Weapon, which cost a flat 5% of his mana, much as the demons did, to keep active. It added 25% weapon damage as fire damage, so a sword that did base 100 damage would do 100 damage plus 25 fire damage, counted as a single strike when being mitigated by armor. The other ability choice was a lot more complicated. Heavenly Summoner, which would completely change most of his spells and abilities. Heavenly Summoner. All demon minions are replaced by angels. All spells changed to reflect your new affinity. If you choose this ability, you will need to go to a different trainer to continue with your class choices. All spells of demonic nature will be changed to reflect your new angelic affinity. Fire Blast becomes Holy Bolt. Demon Skin becomes Angel's Blessing. Demonic Retribution becomes Angelic Radiance. You will lose access to your current summoned minions and have to select new minions with the new trainer.
Albert paused, taking in this twist he never saw coming.
I can get angels instead?
Stuart grimaced in distaste.
Yes, you can join the other side. A lot of two-souled have taken that option, saying that their demons were not helping them. What they don't take into account is how the angels demand you behave to keep them happy. Like to carouse or ask for payment to help others? If you do, then your angels will become very unhappy indeed.
Well, that pretty much makes my choice, then.
While Bob might be an annoying little shit at times, I like him. Guess that means I won't be taking Heavenly Summoner anytime soon.
He touched the ability Flame Weapon and confirmed it.
There we go, choice made. Unless you've raised your strength, you won't be able to get the raw damage at this level to really make use of that ability,
Stuart said with a shrug. Albert chuckled.
I'm going shopping next to pick up the best weapon I can afford. Something like a heavy maul, perhaps.
Stuart looked puzzled, his brow furrowing.
Did you put points into strength?
Nope. Just found a nifty set of gloves, is all.
Albert said, holding out a hand.
I can use any weapon, regardless of strength now.
Stuart,
who had been leaning back in his chair, went over backwards before scrambling to his feet.
You have found the gloves and the boots? Where are you finding these pieces?
First set I got from Vladimir at the Royal Auction House for an old book. The gloves I got from a mystery box that was at the Stormguard Fort as a bonus for rescuing some farmers who had been captured.
Wait, what do you mean you got them from a mystery box?
Stuart began, but Albert waved him off.
What I said. The quartermaster had a box in his stores that he didn't know the contents of. Instead of taking the risk of opening the box himself, he offered it up as an option for a reward. I took the box and found these beauties.
Interesting. You are indeed not following the same path of most other two-souled summoners. So what are your plans exactly?
Going to go get a worthwhile weapon, hit up a shop for food and drink, then probably head back out. Nothing else here in town to really keep me.
Albert said his goodbyes a moment later, as Stuart had nothing to add. Using the portal, he found himself in the graveyard again, and started walking towards Grimgar's weaponry. While he walked, he looked over his new spell. Demonic Vitality. Mana cost 100. Duration 1 minute. Restores 5 health every second. To use this spell, touch your fist to the target while saying the words, Demonic Vitality. Albert paused to change the spell so that he touched his target with the extended pointer and pinky fingers of one hand, with the others curled along with the words, Burning Blood. As Albert walked towards Grimgar's, he felt an itch begin between his shoulder blades, as if he were being watched. He spotted a bench just down the street and strolled over to it. He took a seat and rolled his head around as if stretching out his neck muscles. As he did, he narrowed his eyes to seem as if he had them closed, and he took a look down both directions of the street. He didn't see anything appearing out of the ordinary, so he leaned back on the bench and arched his back, letting his vertebrae pop. Letting out a deep sigh, he sat forward, hunching his shoulders and twisting his torso slightly to make sure he was flexible. As he got back to his feet, he glanced both directions before again heading onward toward his destination. He hadn't spotted anything to explain why his hackles were up, or the itch between his shoulders. The last time he had felt like this was 5 years ago, when an inmate had tried to shank him while he had been responding to a medical call into medium security. That had been pretty ugly, all told, between him being stabbed by his attacker and the ensuing fight before the other guards had gotten there. Nothing happened, though, as he made it to Grimgar's and entered, the jingle of the bell above the door announcing his presence.
Ah, back again, are ye?
Grimgar said with a smile.
What can I do for ye today?
Albert felt the tightness in his shoulder ease up some at Grimgar's greeting.
I've come to get a better weapon.
I've grown beyond the goblin fort, so it's time to move on to my next hunting grounds.
Good for ye, lad.
Grimgar chuckled.
Well, and how many points did ye allocate into strength?
Not a single one.
But I can use anything you have, Grimgar. Show me the best damage weapon you have for 5 gold, please. Ah, that'd be something you can't use. My best weapon for 5 gold would require at least a 50 strength. As a summoner, you would be a right fool to have done that. You last had a 5 strength, which would leave you with staves as your best bet.
Albert held out his gloved hand. Check the equipment and then tell me that, Grimgar. Grimgar frowned but touched the glove, reading the status information. His eyes widened.
Bloody hell, lad. I'll be right back.
Grimgar went into the back, returning with a heavy maul which he set on the counter.
This be the best flat damage I have for what you asked. The hardened steel maul. It does a flat 200 damage. It has no other stats, which is what makes it so cheap.
Hardened steel heavy maul, 200 damage, 400 out of 400 durability. Albert dropped his 5 gold onto the counter and hefted the maul as if it were a toothpick. I'll take it. Do you have a way to attach it to my back that won't interfere with my pack? Grimgar brought out a sling for the weapon that attached directly to the pack.
There you go, lad. Just do me a favor, and if anyone asks where you get your stuff, send them away, right?
It would be a pleasure, Grimgar. You've treated me well both times now. I thank you and wish you a pleasant day. I need to go find some provisions for my trip next.
There'll be a provisioner two streets down from here, Grimgar told Alberit.
They exchanged goodbyes and Alberit exited to the street. A pop-up appeared as he left the shop. You are now liked by Grimgar Smith. Clearing the pop-up away, he started walking the direction Grimgar had pointed him. A few minutes later, he felt the same itch between his shoulders again. Checking the street as if looking for the right shop, Alberit couldn't see anyone that might be watching him. Foot traffic was starting to pick up now that the day was really getting underway, which made spotting a watcher even harder. He stayed wary all the way to the next shop, but the trip was uneventful.
"Welcome to Pablo's Provisions. What kind of food are you looking for?"
A very tanned individual stood behind a counter right next to the door. His features screamed Latin descent to Alberit, who nodded to him in greeting.
"What would you recommend for, say, a week's worth of food that needs to be able to keep for a month or longer?" "Hardtack is the easy answer to that, but it tastes horrible. If you have the coin, the elvish whey bread is a fantastic option, as well as being tasty. Even the most foolhardy, besides dwarves, stay away from the stone bread, though. We have a pretty good selection of hard cheeses, dried fruit and jerky to help round things out as well. It really depends on how much you want to spend."
Alberit nodded. "I am not averse to spending a gold on the right food and beverages for a week." Pablo grinned.
"Well then, did you want to pick it out, or did you want me to assemble a selection for you?"
"By all means, do your best for me, please," Alberit said with a small bow.
"Ha! A two-souled with manners!"
Pablo chuckled as he came around the counter, pulling several packages from the shelves lining the shop. He stacked them on the counter.
"All right, come and see what you're buying."
Pablo pointed out the 7 different cheeses and jerky to be paired together, along with a few small bags of dried fruit. Alberit nodded at the selection.
"I see you are happy with the food, which is good. So now let's move on to the beverages."
7 glass flasks were lined up on the counter. Each held a day's worth of different types of tea.
"Will these suffice?"
"Done." Alberit dropped a gold onto the counter and packed the supplies into his satchel.
"Many thanks to you, Pablo. Next time I need more, I'll be sure to come see you."
Pablo thanked him for his business as Alberit left the shop. Alberit started walking back towards the Dead Man Inn, thinking lunch was a good idea before heading out into the wilds. As he walked, the itch between his shoulder blades returned, stronger than it had been. The certainty that he was being stalked loomed over him. Alberit ducked into the next alley, sprinting for the end of it, sidestepping out to hide against the wall next to the alley. He stood there controlling his breathing as he waited. No one appeared behind him, and after 10 minutes he glanced down the alley to see it empty. The itch was still with him, though the ominous feeling had abated somewhat. Stepping away from the wall, he headed out in a fast walk towards the Portal Guild, which was closer than the inn. Alberit hated the feeling of being watched and stalked, hated feeling like prey. He made it to the building, and as soon as he entered, the feeling of being watched and stalked vanished instantly. Stopping, he took a deep breath and straightened up. He hadn't realized he'd been slightly hunched as he hurried here. He glanced around, seeing others waiting in the lounge area, watching him with smirks, as well as the receptionist looking at him with a smile. The receptionist was the same one he'd met before.
"Welcome back, sir. Where would you like to go today?"
"I was told about a goblin problem further east from the Goblin Fort. What would be the best destination for me to help thin out the goblins there?"
He did his best to smile, but his nerves were still slightly wound up from his ordeal.
"The Stormguard Fort isn't a bad idea. The goblin encampments are a few hours past the Goblin Fort in that area. There was a village out there, and we can still send you there, but that would place you firmly in contested territory, with no friendly people around."
Her tone gave the impression that the second option was for the foolhardy.
Thank you, Albert said. I would like to go to the fort then. A few hours of walking are worth not being completely surrounded.
The fee is 1 gold if you are going alone, sir. If you join the group currently waiting, they can get 5 silver each refunded, and your price would be 50 silver.
She indicated a large man in chain as she spoke. Albert thanked her before strolling over to the lounge area. Excuse me, please. He addressed the large man the receptionist had pointed out. I'm going to go off to the goblin area, and the receptionist said you already have a group for that portal. If I join up with you, she would be refunding you each 5 silver. The large, black-bearded man sneered at Albert. Oh, thanks. We're good. 5 silver is nothing. We also don't need a useless caster with us. Thanks for the consideration, fucking useless meat. Albert's words were clipped and harsh. The large man and 3 others, all cut from the same over-muscled mold, stood up together. Stupid casters should know their place, the large man growled in reply. At that moment, the portal master came hurrying over.
Gentlemen, we don't condone fights here, and your portal is ready. Please follow me. Any conflict started here will cause you to be banned from the premises for a day.
Albert glanced at the portal master, then to the 4 men before stepping away. I apologize, portal master. It wasn't my intent to cause a scene. Even with his rage bubbling, Albert did his best to be civil, bowing to the portal master. The portal master nodded and ushered away the 4 fighters, who were openly sneering at Albert as they trailed after the man. Albert clenched his hands, making his knuckles pop, his face hard as he watched them go. As they disappeared up the stairs, a small cough caught his attention. A very short, petite, black-haired woman got his attention.
Oafs, am I right?
Albert felt his anger ebb.
The woman before him embodied the word cute. Her hair was a short bob cut which framed her heart-shaped face. He met her green eyes before replying.
Yes. I'm sorry if I caused you any inconvenience with that scene. I need to set up for a portal, if you will excuse me.
The woman held up a hand. You're going to the east? I couldn't help overhearing. Why not go with me to the ruined village?
I was going to try and solo it, but I would be happy to have another along. Albert considered for a moment, taking in the black leathers and daggers the woman wore. What flavor of rogue are you?
She chuckled. The leather and daggers, right? Assassin is my trade, to answer your question. What kind of caster are you that you use a heavy maul?
Albert's lips twitched into a small smile. Summoner. Sucking in air through her teeth, the woman winced.
A strength-built summoner? Oh, that has to be a rough road. You interested in joining me?
At Albert's nod, she sent him an invite, letting him see her name. Thank you for being so kind, Karen.
Let's advise the receptionist that we're grouped and get the discount. Shall we, Albert?
Karen said, walking to the desk. Albert winced. It's Albert, actually. Yes, let's. Karen glanced back, her eyes sparkling.
Oh, so serious about your name, I see. This might be fun.
The receptionist looked up as they approached.
Can I help you? We made a group for the destination I asked for earlier. Can I get some cash back?
Karen asked, politely but bluntly. The receptionist nodded.
Of course. Your refund will be 1/2 gold. Your fee is 1.5 gold, sir.
Albert placed the amount on the desk. What's the cost for just 1 person, if I may ask?
2 golds,
the receptionist said, as she handed 50 silver to Karen.
There is your discount. You are the next group to go, so if you will just give the portal mage a moment.
Albert nodded and set another gold on the counter. For you. Both times I've been here, you have been exemplary in your service. I will tip the mage as well, even though I know you pool and split them here. The receptionist's smile went from a polite, business-like expression to one more real that showed off a dimple.
My thanks, sir. If there is anything else we can do for you, please do not hesitate to ask.
Albert gave a small nod of his head,
before turning to see Karen watching him with crooked lips and a raised brow.
"So you like the ladies, it seems,"
Karen said with a chuckle.
"I'll have to keep that in mind if anything amazing drops while we hunt."
Albert snorted softly. "We shall see."
He motioned towards the waiting area. "Ladies first." Smirk becoming more pronounced, Karen turned towards the lounge.
"I always thought that rule was so the guy could watch the woman's ass as she walked in front of him."
She started walking with a sexy sway to her hips.
"Am I right?"
Albert laughed.
"You very well may be right. I always say it, though, as I consider myself a gentleman."
He did let his eyes follow her, though, nodding in appreciation at the way the leather hugged her curves. She was one of the rare few who hadn't gotten carried away at character creation, it seemed. Albert had already noted her small bust that was perfectly suited for her small frame, with her hips flaring just enough to give the impression of an hourglass figure, without exaggerating it. Just as she reached the seating area, she glanced back, catching his eyes track up her back to her face.
"Well, you didn't wolf whistle, so I guess I can call you a gentleman for now."
"A gentleman always notices when a lady is making the effort. It would have been rude of me not to take note of your charms when you obviously wanted me to."
"Touché,"
she replied.
"I think I'm going to like working with you. So how are the angels treating you at level 11?
"Don't know. Didn't take them," Albert remarked. "I'm good with my demons. You'll probably love Bob."
"You named one of your demons Bob?"
The sheer incredulity in Karen's voice made Albert chuckle.
"Yes. Bob the Mighty and Tiny the Fearsome are my current minions. I'll summon them as soon as we portal."
"Excuse me. Your portal is ready. If you will follow me."
The same portal mage from earlier stood there waiting.
"I think this is going to be more fun than I had thought I was going to find today,"
Karen said out loud before turning to the portal mage.
"After you, Jeeves."
The mage bowed slightly and led them up the stairs. As they passed the receptionist, she turned to them.
"Good hunting to you, sir."
Albert tipped an imaginary hat to her with a smile as he went by. He saw the portal mage glance back with a raised brow. A moment later, they were shown to a different door than the one he had used before. Inside was a rune, glowing blue.
"Step into the rune, and you are set to go," the mage said, stepping to one side.
Karen stepped onto the rune and vanished. Albert paused at the edge of the rune.
"For you, sir. The receptionist already got the exact same from me."
Albert handed over another gold, figuring higher levels would get him more anyway, so might as well see if he could get the NPCs to like him quicker this way. The mage accepted the coin with a smile.
"Thank you for your generosity, sir. Next time you come in, ask for me by name. Roland."
"I'll do my best to remember that, Roland. Have a pleasant day."
Albert again tipped an imaginary hat as he stepped onto the rune. Ruined Village. He found himself in the middle of a burnt barroom, littered with broken furniture.
"Charming place, this," he said as he looked for Karen.
"Everything okay? It took you a bit longer to show up."
Karen's voice came from beside him, where he could make out a faint shimmer.
"Stealth," Albert said, eyeing the shimmer. "I hadn't seen how it worked until now. I was tipping the mage and saying goodbye is all."
He noticed a blinking icon and opened it up.
"You are now liked by the Portal Guild."
"Being nice to the NPCs, eh?"
"Well, I guess they are somewhat more lifelike here than in other games. Not sure just throwing money at them is the way to go, though.
Anyway, summon the demons and let's see what kind of trouble we can get into,"
Karen said as she glided to the doorway still in stealth. Albert quickly summoned the two demons.
"Morning, you two. We're going to kill some more goblins today. These should be stronger and tougher for us, but we have help. If you see a short, talky female, don't hurt her."
"As if they could even hit me,"
Karen's voice said from over by the door.
Bob chuckled.
Another female master? You surely do like the fairer sex. Does this one purr if you rub her ears?
Rolling his eyes, Albert didn't reply. He just walked over to the doorway, which was missing its door. He glanced out into a dirt street, empty of everything but piles of burnt rubbish. All the buildings he could see were broken shells of homes or shops. Most either had no roof at all, or only the barest fragments of one left.
Charming place, Bob. I found you a summer home.
Tiny loomed behind Alberit.
Not enough fire. I don't see anything to kill, either.
Alberit shrugged his shoulders. Fair enough. He walked into the middle of the street to get a good look both ways.
I only see the ruins of a village, and that's it. You sure goblins are near here, Karen?
An arrow slammed into his right side, taking 30 health away. Stumbling back, Alberit looked the way the arrow had come from, to see a goblin drawing back his bow for another attack, as three other goblins came pouring out of the ruined house.
Yep,
Karen said softly as she took off towards the house.
I'll deal with the archer. Try to stay alive until I'm done.
Tiny roared as he came out of the ruined inn, imposing himself between the goblins and Alberit, and taking the next arrow to his chest.
I will protect the master.
Tiny growled, slashing his axe at the three goblins as they closed the distance. Alberit tore the arrow from his side with a grunt, before he cast demon skin on himself. He silently cursed himself for not having done it before he left the inn. Stepping up behind Tiny, who had the attention of the three goblins, he cast Retribution and Vitality onto Tiny. Bob started casting Fire Blast at the first target as a second arrow hit Tiny. Tearing the maul from his back, Alberit invoked Flame Weapon with a thought, and the head of the maul burst into flames.
All right, let's see how this does,
Alberit said, stepping around the goblins to hit the one that Tiny had aggro on. Noting the goblins all wore leather armor with chain shirts and steel caps while wielding swords, Alberit decided to go for a headshot anyway, hoping the base damage was high enough to still get a critical from the blow. As the maul connected with the goblin's skull, Alberit chuckled to see the goblin wobble. Glancing at the combat text, he noted the 460 damage caused by the critical. Checking the goblin's health, he found the level 14 goblin searcher had 634 out of 1200 health. The goblin spun on Alberit, as he had easily outstripped Tiny's aggro with the critical. The maul was awkward for Alberit, though, so he wasn't able to deflect the incoming slash from the goblin and took another 22 damage.
Sorry, Tiny. Didn't mean to grab him,
Alberit hissed through the pain. Tiny roared again, using his taunt to make the goblins turn to face him.
Be careful, master,
Tiny said, trading blows with the three attacking goblins. A scream and thud made Alberit glance behind him, to see the goblin who had been shooting at them lying in the street with Karen on its back, her daggers buried between its shoulder blades. He glanced at Karen's life, showing she was only slightly injured then at the goblin searcher she was fighting, which had 698 out of 1200 health left.
Bob, help Karen with her goblin, then help us out,
Alberit called out, before swinging again on the goblin before him. The next fire blast went sailing down the street out of Alberit's view, as Bob complied.
Oh, she might be small, but she is fierce. I like her,
Bob said. Tiny roared again, his health dropping to half as the first goblin fell. He spun to the next goblin, able now to use his shield a bit more to help mitigate the damage from the goblins. Alberit reached out, reapplying vitality on Tiny, before following it up with haze for the constitution bonus, to give Tiny a bit more health. Alberit brought his maul up and around, going for another skull shot, but the goblin shifted to the side, causing the strike to hit on the shoulder. It still stripped more than 200 health away from the goblin, which was a hell of a lot more than anyone else his level should be doing, he was sure. The second one dropped a few seconds later, and as he turned his attention to the last one, Bob started casting Fire Blast at it. Karen appeared next to him and dug in with her daggers. The last goblin didn't last long under the concentrated onslaught. Tiny survived thanks to the two rounds of demonic vitality Alberit had put on him.
As I was going to say before you traipsed off into the street, the goblins here normally run in packs, Karen said as her health regenerated, now that combat was over. We really should have died there, but Tiny did an admirable job of holding them at bay. Thanks for sending Bob to help me kill the one I ambushed.